look at David's psalm and see what we can learn from this very powerful song. Now, you're going to recognize it, but I'm going to read through it. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, the first thing we learned about in Psalm 23, verse 1, is lost to found. David opens up his statement, a declaration that David is not his own. He belongs to someone else. He belongs to a shepherd. Now, we don't hear a lot about lords in today's world outside of church, but the Lord had a very important job to do. A lord, it sounds a lot like fun being a lord because you just get to tell people what to do, but it's a lot more than that. There's a lot of responsibility that went with being a lord with that title. What does a lord do? Well, the work that they do is it's a lot like a shepherd. So this is a really good picture he gave us. They lead people. Shepherds lead sheep. They make sure their people or their sheep have enough food to eat. They protect their people or their sheep. People used to submit to the Lord of an area so they would have a community to live in. But that meant that they had to follow the rules of that community, of that Lord that they lived in. And sometimes other lords would try to come in and take their land. Well, that was a problem. So they had to protect their people, just like a shepherd protects his sheep. Remember, not all shepherds and lords are the same, though, right? Some shepherds and lords are really good lords, and some are not so good. Some are terrible to their people. Some lords love their people so much, just like a shepherd loves their sheep, and there are those lords that are also mean to their people and don't do a good job at leading them. Well, the type of shepherd that David's talking about for his Lord is a good shepherd. David knows that the Lord is his shepherd, and if God is his shepherd, that means that David is the sheep in this picture. I'm a sheep. Bah, bah, you're a sheep. Say it. It's VBS week. We get to have a little extra fun in here, all right? But we have to confess Jesus as our Lord. We got to follow Him if He's going to be our shepherd. When we have a shepherd, it means that we have someone looking out for us. Someone that's always on our side. Someone that's willing to save us when we're in a position of danger. But also someone that may need to correct us at times and bring us along when we get lost. Having a shepherd means we don't just get to do whatever we want. But we have to believe that our shepherd knows better than we do, which is why He tells us no sometimes and directs us in different ways. God knows, we got to admit this, God knows more than we do. God knows the future. He knows what's happening all around the world right now. And He even knows what is going to happen in the future. And God knows all that, but He still cares about each and every one of you. That's what a good Lord does the most. He cares. Because that's where it comes from. When you have a Lord or a shepherd that loves you, they're going to do things that benefit you for your sake. They're going to do a much better job of leading. David knows that his shepherd is so good that David will have everything that he ever needs. He doesn't have to want anything else because he already has the most important things. He has love. He has joy. He has a peace and a comfort. He has a relationship with the God of the universe that created everything we see. Everything a good little sheep could want, David has because of his relationship with his shepherd, the Lord. Now let's look at what a good shepherd does for his sheep. Because there's some actions that need to be done here. Wrong path to right path. In verses 2 and 3. Most of us don't like when someone makes us do something, right? But a good shepherd, it says, is going to make his sheep do certain things. My father-in-law, Lester, he was a farmer and he had calves, and sometimes those calves didn't want to eat. And I was with him one time when he had this new calf, and it didn't want to eat. It wanted its mama. And, well, of course, they separate the calves when they're young so they can bottle feed them and they get to know the farmer, but they got to get the nutrients. And so Lester, calves don't have teeth yet. So he just like slid his finger in the mouth and propped it open, yanked it open, jammed a bottle in there. And it didn't seem like it was super gentle. It didn't seem like it was necessarily super loving, but that calf needed to eat. And so my father-in-law, he made it eat. Now, once it got in there and started to realize, oh, there's milk coming out of this thing and it tastes pretty good, you know, then it started coming around and started eating on its own. But initially, sometimes we have to be made to do some things. Maybe your parents have to make you do things like clean your room or eat your vegetables. How many of you, your parent has to make you eat vegetables? I'm just curious. The adults can raise their hand too. Okay. All right. Cole's got me. Your dad doesn't eat vegetables anyway. He can't make you eat them. A lot of people don't love eating vegetables, especially the ones like broccoli and Brussels sprouts. But maybe your parents make you. But you got to know, you got to understand, if they do, like, it's for your good. We need the vitamins, we need the minerals that come from these vegetables. They're these green goodies, all right? And they might not taste as good as a Twix bar, I fully admit that. But they have a lot more nutrients in them that helps you grow big and strong. That's why parents make their kids eat vegetables, because if you don't love them, they're still good for you. Now, Jesus makes us lie down in green pastures. That's what it says He makes us do. Lie down in green pastures. If the shepherd is making us do it, and we know that He loves us, there must be a good reason for it. Even if we don't like resting. All right, how many of you, now this will be an interesting question between the older and the younger people here. How many of you enjoy taking a nap? Definitely most of the older crowd there. The younger, got a few young kids like still taking naps. That's good. But notice where the shepherd makes us lie down. In green pastures. In Israel, where this was written, there's a lot of land that doesn't have a lot of green pastures everywhere like we do around here. Especially like Ireland, where it's known for green pastures. David grew up in a very dry area where they often went without water for long periods of time. So a shepherd would often have to go out and like find green grass for his sheep. It was work. It took a lot of effort. And then he would take them to that place. And when he found that green grass that was soft and full of nutrients, that's where he would make them lie down. That green pasture is the best place for his sheep to lay down. The shepherd knows and the oxen knows when they're going to travel again. So sometimes you need to make people rest so that they're ready for the trip ahead. He knows that they need to rest because he knows what is to come. And a good shepherd also leads his sheep beside still waters. Why is a sheep walking beside still? Why has it got to be still waters? Why not, you know, like loud rushing waters? Because sheep are scared pretty easily. Sheep can't really fight. They don't have fangs. They don't have poison. They don't have long tails that they can turn around and whip other animals with. They're not big enough to fight off predators very well. Their best chance of survival is just living with lots of other sheep and being faster than their neighbors. And that's kind of your best chance of survival as a sheep. Now, a couple of the bigger males, they might turn and put up a fight. But for the most part, sheep are kind of skittish. It's pretty easy to scare them. And one thing that can make them nervous is being around rushing waters. And so a good shepherd knows this, and he's going to guide his sheep to a place where the waters are still and quiet. And the sheep can get down and eat, drink out of quiet water because it's not going to scare them and make them all nervous. It's going to be a place of peace, a place of rest. And so that's a good thing. And a shepherd that loves the sheep and cares about them, he's going to go out of his way to find that water where the sheep can go easily and get rehydrated. Without Jesus, we're on the wrong path. But with Jesus, He not only acts as our Lord, He leads us on a path of righteousness and teaches us to go from fearful to peaceful. This is verse 4. This verse gives us a very different picture from the green pastures and waters. I mean, David does a serious transition here. Sometimes life also brings us through what David calls the valley of the shadow of death. All right, we're not talking about the green pastures and the still waters anymore. When we think about a valley, they usually have shadows, and those shadows can be kind of scary when we can't see what's in those shadows. Predators often hide in the shadows. And for a sheep, that can mean death if you're trapped in the valley and you can't escape. And again, sheep aren't that big. They're not that fast. They can't fly away. If they're in a valley and a predator comes upon them, they're kind of trapped there, right? And that's the picture he's given us. They're kind of trapped there. Well, David says that if the Lord is his shepherd, he doesn't even have to worry about what can happen in that time. Even if he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he doesn't have to worry. Not because bad things can't happen, but because he knows that his shepherd is with him. And the shepherd has a couple tools, a rod and a staff. And those things that we often think, oh, he might use those to beat the sheep. No, that's actually what comforts the sheep, because he knows that this shepherd will use that to protect him. And that's a good thing. And this is important. Even if God is our shepherd, we still have valleys to walk through in life. We still have dangerous situations to walk through. We still have people that want to harm us. Following Jesus doesn't mean that life is always going to be easy. I mean, David makes that pretty clear right here in this section of the psalm. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But if we follow Jesus, he will stay right there with us and he will use his tools to protect us. Bad things can happen to us, even physically. But God can protect our spirit. We don't have to live in fear because Jesus, he's right there with us. The shepherd doesn't just get scared and run away when he's in the valley. When we're walking in his path of righteousness and something bad does happen, then it usually means God's doing something. There's a work there somewhere. And our shepherd doesn't forget about us. He doesn't just leave us alone. Our shepherd walks with us. And when you have a tough day, it's really nice to know that there's a shepherd that cares enough to be right there beside you to comfort you. Even as an adult when bad things happen, sometimes it feels good to have someone just come along and comfort you and let you know that they care. It means even more when we know it's a shepherd that cares for us. Several years ago, I was doing a VBS skit, and I remember I was off on this side. And I did this thing where I was supposed to trip, and so I made it pretty grand. I mean, I tripped from here all the way to the ground, which I'm 49. Those days are over, all right? So if you missed that show, you missed it. It's too late. But I did, and I fell, and I went down, and I crashed into the ground. And some of the kids took it so serious. I forget which Kachia kid it was, but one of the Kachia kids jumped off the front pew where my buddy Gracie's sitting. And she's like, "Are you okay?" And she helped me up. And it kind of made it hard to stay in character. It's like, "Yeah, I'm okay. I'm good." But, you know, it was interesting because even in that position where I was just goofing off and having fun, like, it meant a lot. Like, that was such a sweet moment. This little child just came to comfort a big guy that fell, you know? Like, how cool is that? And it doesn't matter how old we get. When rough times come along, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it brings us great comfort when other people notice and care. And sometimes it's through those people, those friends, those fellow believers, those fellow sheep that come alongside of us that help us realize, I think God sent this person to care for me. Or we read a Bible verse and we're like, oh, that's like the perfect verse. That's exactly what I needed. And we just feel God's comfort come upon us. Having someone comfort us is a great gift. But knowing that our shepherd cares enough to comfort us, man, that makes it even better. Without Jesus, we're on the wrong path. But with Jesus, he not only acts as our Lord, he leads us on the path of righteousness and teaches us to go from fearful to peaceful. But also from grumbling to grateful. In verse 5, see, when we have a good shepherd like Jesus, we don't really need to grumble. I used to be a pretty grumbly kid before I trusted Jesus, before I started following. I used to be very angry at all the bad things that happened to me. I was angry at the people that hurt me, angry that I lost my leg, angry that I wasn't like other people. And I was angry that I wasn't who I wanted to be. I was just angry and I grumbled a lot. I was a pretty sad kid. Then I learned that Jesus loved me and wanted to save me from all my sins. And so I prayed to him one day and asked him to forgive me, and my life changed a lot. I stopped grumbling all the time and became grateful because I knew that God had a better plan for me, something more. It made me a very happy person. I still have bad days. I still have tough times in life. But it sure is nice knowing that Jesus is with me. Now think about that, what it means when we have an enemy and they're watching us. When an enemy is watching, you probably don't feel like eating very much because you tend to be a little bit worried about things. You want to be really careful. You want to defend yourself. But David writes about something different. He had a lot of enemies. He won a lot of battles. He even had the former king, King Saul, chasing them all around the countryside trying to kill him. So David knew a lot about it, more than most people, I would say, about enemies, right? Now this is really cool part about this verse. When we think about it with a shepherd, sheep, Sheep have very natural enemies too. Wolves, bears, lions, people that are thieves. Snakes certainly could bite a sheep and kill it. All these things can harm or kill sheep. And David reminds us that when the Lord is our shepherd, He can just set up a table, sit down, and we can start to eat comfortably right in front of our enemies because we're not worried about them. David is so focused on God that he says, I don't worry about what my enemies have planned for me because God is preparing a place for me to sit down and eat in comfort. The shepherd also anoints him or pours oil over his head to honor him, but also to invite the sheep into his fold. And oil would help with different things. It was helped in protecting the sheep from wounds it may have gotten if it got in the briars. But if it had the right combination, it could also help keep flies away. And David is so amazed at how much his shepherd cares for him that he says his cup runs over. It just overflows. The love of the shepherd fills up his heart, and it's even more than he can handle. It just continues to overflow. With God as a shepherd, we have so much more than we need. A cup can only hold so much water. David said his cup is just overflowing, and that means that God gives us more than we need, especially when it comes to love. I remember when I asked Jesus to forgive my sins and save me, my cup ran over, and I just cried because I realized how much God loved me for the first time, because I knew that God's love was more than I deserved. But God doesn't love us based on our actions. God's love is based on His character and who He is. And He created us in His image, so He's going to love us because it says in 1 John 4:16, God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So God loves us because that's who He is. God is love. And that's why David's cup ran over, because it was more love than he could even hold in his own heart. It was almost too much for him. It just kept overflowing. If we could see God's love pouring into the cup in our heart, we'd just see it overflow. And maybe you disobey your parents sometimes, and maybe you make them angry. You guys ever done that? Like, ever? It's Father's Day, you got to be honest. They still fed you, though, didn't they? They still bought your clothes. I heard a no there somewhere. They still let you live in the house. They still took care of your needs. And even if they told you not to ride your bikes and you rode and you wrecked and you skinned your knee open, I'm betting they still cleaned it up. If they were mad, they might have used straight alcohol. But they still cleaned it up, got the germs out, and put a Band-Aid on your boo-boo. Why? Because they loved you. And God loves you even when you disobey too. Which is why He offers to forgive us when we confess our sins. And that means we ask Jesus to forgive us. And He does, because He loves us so much. Now we have verse 6 yet, from shaky to sure. And now for the last verse, but because David the sheep follows his shepherd, David knows that goodness and mercy will always be with him his whole life. And a sheep that has a really good shepherd has a pretty good life. It's full of goodness. Lots of green grass, fresh water to drink, lots of rest, protection from predators. It's a good life for a sheep when you got a good shepherd. Now, our lives are created to follow God as our shepherds too, so it's going to work much better if we do it the way that God instructs us through the Bible. Now, if we're not following Him, we can't expect all of His goodness right there. As we follow God, goodness and mercy continue to follow us. Here's an interesting fact about sheep. They are very social animals. And if a shepherd happens to have a llama, it usually joins right in with the sheep. And we used to have a sweet lady at our church named Mari Joy. And she would bring her pet llama to Vacation Bible School before she passed away. Her pet llama's name was Keeper. And she had a little obstacle course, or she called it her llama carnival. And the kids would get to lead the lead Keeper through this little carnival. Now, llamas have jobs when they're with other animals. They tend to be the ones that watch for danger. They got that big long neck, you know, so they're always watching for danger. And if you have llamas in a pasture, they often, like farmers are actually like put a mound in the middle so they can go stand up on top of the mound and they can really see around. And there's always a guard that's kind of keeping watch for the other animals. Now, when llamas are in a pen with sheep, llamas just naturally start to watch over their sheep family, and they kind of follow them. And if the herd goes somewhere, they just tend to follow along and watch over them from behind. So a llama with sheep is kind of like goodness and mercy that follows all of our days. If you live in Pennsylvania, mercy and goodness are going to follow you. if you move to Michigan or Alaska or Japan, and the Lord is your shepherd, mercy and goodness are going to follow you. Right? One sentence left in this chapter. Listen to what David writes and how long it lasts. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Does forever mean just a little bit? No. It means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Not just during your life on earth, but for eternity. So David says that this shepherd loves him so much that he's actually going to bring him into the house with him. Now, don't go bring your pets into the house unless they're your parents approve. All right? Be careful about that. But God loves you so much that He wants you to live with Him forever in heaven. And that's why He sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. When we sin against God, we are breaking His laws. And if we break laws, we are what the judge calls guilty. And if we're guilty, we have to pay for the laws that we break. And the only way we can pay for sinning against God is with our own lives. But Jesus didn't want us to die for our own sins. So He came as the good shepherd and He died in our place. He died on the cross. But then something really cool happened. 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. He gave us all of His goodness so that we can go to heaven. And He took on all of our punishments. And that's why He had to die. But He came back to life. Here's the question we have to ask ourselves. Is Jesus our shepherd? Do we follow Him? Do we believe that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins? If you do, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I like to remember how to get saved this way. It's really as easy as remembering your ABCs. You admit that you're a sinner and ask Jesus to forgive you. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And you confess that Jesus is your Lord, or in this situation, your shepherd, and you follow Him. Admit, believe, confess. The ABCs of salvation. As we finish this message, I want to give everyone here a chance to decide if you believe God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you want to confess Jesus as your new shepherd, so that you can live in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus even taught His disciples that the best way to believe in Him is the way that children believe. So you kids do a really good job of showing us adults sometimes what it means to really believe and follow Jesus. If there's anyone here today that's never asked Jesus to be your Savior or your shepherd, you can do that today. If you would, bow your head and close your eyes. First, I just want to ask, if there's anyone here that has asked Jesus to be their shepherd and you're following Him, if that's you today, would you slip up your hand as a testimony? Thank you. But if you're here today and say, you know, I've never asked Jesus to forgive my sins and never asked Him to be my Lord or my shepherd, and you'd like to do that today, would you slip up your hand? Father, we come before You. We thank You so much for this day. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your grace. And we thank You for being like a really good shepherd, one that cares for us, loves us, provides for us, protects us. And we thank You so much that David wrote this psalm about his relationship with You so that we too can learn all about it. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.